I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. This program is brought to you by the Amazing FBA Mentoring Program. The mentoring program is there for you, whether you are just starting out or you have an existing product and you want to add another product, or you want to scale up from a few thousand pounds or dollars per month up into the sort of $25,000 a month or so mark, at which point then I would probably hand you over to the care of the 10K Collective Mastermind if you're in the UK. Is it for you if you're outside of the UK? Absolutely. I've got an American client, a British client, weirdly, but who's in Australia. I've got an Australian client in London. I've worked with people in Poland and in Ireland. So it's pretty international. This works for everybody because everyone has similar issues. If you're selling in America, if you're selling in the UK or Europe, or you're planning to sell in UK, Europe or America, I've sold in all those marketplaces and coach people and all that. So all of those people will find that this is a very, very helpful program for them. Why one-to-one mentoring? It's pretty simple, really, because isolation is a dream killer. Trying to learn something just from the raw fire hose of YouTube and podcasts and Facebook groups is going to drive you nuts. But even if you've got the structured work of a course, which I definitely would recommend, I did that myself, and I work with people with my course now, I still think it's really, there's no substitute for being able to use somebody as a sounding board, and learning from somebody who's been there before can help you deal with the head trash and have clear, simple processes and hold you accountable to them. So if that sounds attractive to you, guess what? We've got an amazing deal. I very, very rarely reduce the price of my mentoring because I don't want to devalue it in the marketplace, but I'm doing it because I neglected my marketing before Christmas with the PLP, the private level process course I was creating, and I've got a tax bill coming up because I've had a successful year, but that unfortunately means I owe the government a lot of tax. So for those reasons, I need to get a cash influx, so I'm willing to lower my prices for the next three or four people. After that, it goes back to standard prices, and I will indeed put them up in future, as I have done in the past. So if you're interested in exploring that, it's application only. I'm not going to hard sell you into anything. If it's not right for you, we won't work together. But many, many people have found it very helpful. If you want to find out more about that and see some of the testimonials from the happy people that I've worked with, amazingfba.com/mentoring, MENTORING. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show. Hello there and welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Today is back to Q&A Tuesday, a couple of questions from the Facebook group. These are largely geared to sort of beginners, but some interesting questions have come up today, so I thought I'd cover those. If you want to be part of that conversation, and you can put your own questions to me and the other members of the Facebook group. I'm in there once or twice a week, and I generally will try and give a reasonably comprehensive answer, so it's quite a good way to get free advice from me. In fact, it's the only way to get free personalised advice from me. I'm prepared to do it because it provides value for the other members of the group. So if you want to join that, go to the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. We've got about 1,400 members there. So yeah, it's quite a good space in which to get some answers, I think. So we occasionally have some pretty serious sellers knocking around there as well. It's not a guarantee, but sometimes some couple of questions. First of all, Rob says, hi, I've managed to get my first Amazon product to a rank of 5th for the best keyword. So on page 1, which I'm happy with, but oddly on the Amazon app, I appear about 15th for the same keyword. And on the mobile web, I'm 5th as well. So any idea why the app seems to rank me differently, i.e. lower? And is there anything I can do about this? It's a very interesting question. I've actually, amazingly, nobody's ever raised that question in the power seller groups that I'm a member of, nor in the 10K Collective or Million Pound Mastermind. So it is an interesting question, actually. I have no specific answers, but I think there's probably a couple of factors at play. First and foremost, I think it's very important to recognize that Amazon, like most other companies these days, uses cookies, or it tracks your web surfing, and it tries to give you relevant results based on what you've searched for before. So you are going to have to try and discount for that. So if you browse from a neutral phone and try a private browsing window on your laptop, or from a friend's phone, you may get a very, very different result. So the most effective way is probably to ask a friend to do that for you and take some screenshots. You may find it's very, very different to your personal results. So that's the first and most important thing. The second thing which interests me the most, and I haven't heard anyone discuss this, so I'm going to take this back to the Mastermind guys and put it to them, and we'll let you know if we come up with any answers to this. But it's possible that the algorithm ranks things differently in all three places, i.e. the Amazon app on your phone, on your phone on a browser, and on a laptop. because consumer behavior in all three places is going to differ quite a lot. I have no insider info on this. I suspect it probably is how that works, but you can form your own conclusions by following what I've suggested for a number of keywords and a number of products and doing your own in-house testing. If you've only got one product, I guess you can't really test very much. I'm not sure where Rob is at with his business. But track the specific keywords for specific products and they patterns may emerge for you. So I think that's a very interesting question to be continued, but just make sure you take account, and this applies to all of us really, whether or not you're comparing different browsers or different types of search devices, I should say. But also, even if you're just checking your ranking on a laptop all the time, you've got to take account of the fact that Amazon will rank things differently for you personally. If you keep searching for, I don't know, dog leashes or something, then it's going to assume you're interested in dog leashes and the results may be different for you to everybody else because they try and personalize the results. So you must bear that in mind when you do your searching and preferably get somebody else to do it for you. So that was the first one. The second one is another more basic question in a way, but raises a point that it's very important to be clear about. A couple of limitations of what we can and can't do in terms of data as new Amazon sellers. So Dave says, I've sold my first self-developed product today. I'd like to know how the buyer found my product, i.e. what search term was used to find it. I have sponsored ads on, but so far I haven't spent any money, so I guess it was found somewhere way down in the rankings. Is there any way to find out what my buyer searched for? So obviously when he says first product, I guess he means the first unit of the first product. Very first day sale. So Dave, congratulations on your first sale. A couple of things to say. I mean, firstly, if it was an organic sale, then you're not going to be able to see exactly what keyword it was ranked and sold via. Amazon keeps that to itself. So that is something you're going to have to try and guess at by running Amazon ads. Having said that, though, this is the most extreme version of a more general problem, which is generalizing on the basis of small amounts of data. So I said, look, don't worry about an individual sale in terms of data. Well, your first sale is a special moment for you and your business, and congratulations. Generalizing in any way at all on the basis of tiny data is a recipe for distorted leadership or distorted view of your business. And the data set doesn't get any smaller than one single unit, needless to say. So don't worry about questions like that until you've sold a statistically meaningful set of units. How many is that? That's a very good question. How long is a piece of string? But more than one for sure. I mean, you probably need a couple of weeks worth of products sold at least to begin to see some stable patterns emerging. I would say also, if you want to get that the answer to your question, but over a bit more meaningful data than one unit, the answer to the question of what the important keyword or keywords are that are driving sales, then make sure you bid enough on your clicks for sponsored ads and high enough daily budget for your sponsored ads to at least get some clicks. And then over time, you can start to build up a picture of what gets clicks. And you can also see on the ads what exact keywords drive conversions as well. So the Amazon ads, one of the major reasons for running ads isn't so much to get sales, although that's nice to have, and is not even just to juice the algorithm for organic sales, although that is very, very important for the launch phase particularly, but it's also to get the data on which keywords are good to target. And you cannot absolutely know this. You can get search volume from tools like Helium 10, which will tell you there's a lot of search volume on certain keywords. You can get the conversion data on sales that are made via Amazon ads, but you cannot, to my knowledge, get accurate data on what exact keywords are driving every organic sale. And that is just one of those things that Amazon hides from us, and we have to kind of infer it and make educated guesses and guesstimates on that basis. So Amazon ads are very, very important for that reason. But just to reiterate, please don't get overexcited about a single sale. I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited. I'm just saying don't change anything significant in your business on the basis of small data sets. And in a less extreme way, I say this all the time with my clients who work with me, mentoring clients who have just launched a product. They have a habit, as we all do at the beginning, I did the same back in the day, but they have a habit of changing the price every 3 minutes and also changing how much they spend on advertising in response to what's happening that day. And I suppose they're treating it like it's driving. I mean, if you're driving into a corner and you're going too fast, you put your foot on the brake. If you're running late for work, you accelerate. It's a very sort of in the moment, instant thing. But it's not wise to drive an Amazon business that way. Think of it as like driving a big boat, not quite an oil tanker, but it's a bit like driving a very big boat. You need to anticipate things and you need to hold a steady course for a much longer time. And you need to see things coming much further in advance as well. So I don't think you should be changing your price point significantly any more than once a week if you really want to test price points. And if you want to feather between one price point to the other, you want to be changing it very gradually. If you want to change your ad spend, you want to gradually change your budget or your bids. If you're coming out of the launch phase and into, you know, sort of stabilized, profitable phase, hopefully, then you want to give yourself long enough time to get valid data. And the data doesn't seem as important as the sales, but I promise you it is. Because, for example, today I was working with a client who was saying, I need to get some kind of strategic, reliable way of predicting what I need to order for the future. And I said, well, yeah, the thing you've got to do is get is enough data at a stable A, price point, and B, ad spend, to know whether a product's going to sustain a certain number of sales per day at a certain price. At a profit. If you spend like crazy on ads, you can make sales, but not profitably. And the same is true with your price low. But if you want to test, I can sell, for example, how many units can I sell at a price of $24 for my product while spending about 10% of the revenue on advertising? So it's profitable. Okay, given those parameters, what number of units am I going to shift per day? And you need to have a stable period with that price and with that ad spend to give you the answer to how many units per day or per month is a better way of looking at it. Equivalent, are you going to sell? And then on that basis, you can go back and make some reasonably decent reordering or ordering decisions. So again, this comes back to the theme of this particular point, which I think is very, very important to hammer home. It's so critical to get stable data on the basis of a valid, statistically valid set of data before you make any decisions. And because the data is so critical in making decisions, you must value the data and the quality of the data more highly than you do messing about trying to get the odd sale. Right? You can't make the marketplace give you sales. So don't try. Just experiment with different price points, different ad spend, different images, whatever it is. And when it comes to the actual listing itself, so the image, price point, and text, you can, of course, test that with something like Splitly.com, which will deal with the statistical validity thing. And it will tell you if it is like 95% probability it's right and all the rest of it. So you don't have to guess about that. So quite a lot of things are implied by this simple little statement. I mean, you know, I'm taking it further than the person talking was probably thinking, and I certainly didn't give such a long response in the Facebook group. It's more direct than that. But it's an important point that is raised by this. So get statistically valid data sets before you start generalizing. And also never, ever generalize on the basis of one sale or a handful of sales or a good or a bad day. And it's very tempting to do that. Don't do that. It's not going to help you. And the other thing is, yeah, you guess what? You cannot get organic keyword-driven sales data from Amazon. So you're going to have to learn to deal with that uncertainty. And that's kind of part of the fun. If everyone had absolute certainty, you wouldn't have a competitive advantage by knowing that. It would seem more reassuring, but if everyone's doing it, then it's no better, actually. So it would be a false win. It would be a win if you get that and nobody else does, then you win, of course, but that doesn't exist. So I hope that clarifies some things. Some things on Amazon seem mystifying, and they are pretty much intentionally so, because Amazon tries to keep some stuff mysterious to itself for whatever reasons, and I'm sure they have their reasons that they think about every single thing they do at Amazon, but that is the reality we have to deal with. So I hope that's a couple of useful things. A quick Q&A episode. We've got some more interviews coming up soon and some more deep dive thoughts. So keep tuned and keep selling, and happy hunting. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.